And I'd like to ask you to locate your Bibles. And if you want to use the Bibles there that are in the seats with you, I'd like you to turn with me to James chapter 4. And if you use the Bibles in the seats, James chapter 4 is found on page 1290. Page 1290 of the Bibles that are there with you in the seats, James chapter 4. I'd like to read the first 10 verses of James chapter 4. But if you've been with us for a few weeks, you know we're doing something a little differently. So I'm not going to be preaching through this entire passage. There's just a couple of thoughts I wanted you to get from this passage. And then we're going to be going back to a topical series, which I will share with you that in just a little bit. James chapter 4, verses 1 to 10. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. You remember last week that, I believe it was last week, Martin began his message in the evening with quoting from a well-known song, Frank Sinatra's kind of theme song, I Did It My Way. Well, following that tradition, I'm going to start this morning with another song, perhaps not as beautiful of a song, maybe not as well known, but there was a song when I was young that said, it goes like this: what the world needs now is love, sweet love, is just the only thing that there's just too little of. Well, I don't know if that song is something that you're familiar with. I don't have any idea if it's completely true or not. But for our purpose this morning, I want to change it a little bit and say what the world needs now is boasting. Now you think, whoa. You know, I've been taught since I was a little child not to boast. Well, I'll explain it here in a little bit. You remember that we are going through the character qualities of love found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And just so you remember, it's like shining light through a prism. We've used the illustration from Henry Drummond that when you shine light through a prism, on the other side comes all the different colors of the rainbow. And so also with 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul is taking this huge concept, this important concept of love, which we really can't understand in and of itself. It's too great, it's too grand, it's too beyond us. He's taking that concept of love, passing it through the prism of God's word, and in essence, out comes all the various character qualities, the various aspects that make up love. So if I were to ask you if you're a loving person, you might have a hard time answering that question. But if I looked at the component parts of love from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you'd be able to evaluate that. Part of the component parts of love are love is patience. Are you a patient person? Love is kind. Are you demonstrating kindness? Love does not act unbecomingly, does not act rudely. You can evaluate those things. So we're going through this series in both our morning and evening services about the aspects of love. Today, our topic is that love does not brag and it's not arrogant. Love does not brag and it's not arrogant. So our theme I want to share with you this morning is that despite worldly influences, Christian love promotes humility. Christian love promotes humility. Now, this is against everything that the world wants to teach you. The world wants to teach you to make a name for yourself, to do something great, to let the world know of your accomplishments. Many years ago, a friend of mine was trying to get back into a field of work in which he had been quite successful years before. And had been out of the field for a while, but now was trying to get back into it. He came and he showed me his resume, and it was just filled with all of his accomplishments and all these sorts of things. And I remember saying to him, you know, this is really quite impressive, but I think the world still respects genuine humility when they see it. He went back and rewrote this and had been to many interviews, and he went to this interview and was able to get the job. I think the world still respects genuine humility when it sees it. So love does not brag and is not arrogant. Christian love promotes humility. Now, bragging and arrogance, it seems to me, are related. Arrogance is the idea of, it's a character quality, it's who we are. Boasting is a verbal expression of that. So if I'm arrogant, I'm going to think myself, to use the words of Philippians chapter 2, more important than you. And then my boasting will try to convince you that I am more important than you. So love does not brag. Love is not arrogant. So we want to look at those two topics this morning. And so the first thing I want to share with you this morning is that Christian love requires genuine humility. Christian love requires genuine humility. Winston Churchill apparently said to one of his detractors, he was a quite humble man, and he had good reason to be. And my friends, I want you to recognize that you have good reason to be humble. Now, remember the passage that we read, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you. That idea is repeated in 1 Peter chapter 5. And if you take away the parallel epistles of Ephesians and Colossians, I think it's the only command that's repeated in the epistles. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord. Humble yourselves that he may exalt you. We need to understand genuine humility. We need to understand humility. It had been attributed to C.S. Lewis, but as Martin was doing some research on this, he found out it really wasn't from C.S. Lewis. But the quote that's been given to C.S. Lewis for decades is that humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. That's a pretty good way to think about it, I think. Another definition is that humility is recognizing that God and others are responsible for your successes. In essence, humility is the idea of seeing others as more important than yourself. Philippians chapter 2 tells us that we're to do that. So when you entered here this morning, did you enter believing that the people here that are sitting next to you and in front of you and behind you are more important than you? See, that's not our normal way of thinking. But it's thinking others more important than yourself. It's the idea of putting the needs and desires and cares of somebody else as more important, more pressing than your own needs. And we don't like to live that way. You know that the only character quality that Jesus applied to himself is the idea of humility. Come unto me, all you who are, listen to this. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Jesus tells us that he's humble and gentle in heart. Our Lord Jesus Christ was humble. Why not? Why can we not be that way as well? Dixon Host was a man that lived humility. There's a book written about him. The title of the book is Live to Be Forgotten. Dixon Hose was one of the Cambridge Seven. He was the only one of the Cambridge Seven that didn't actually go to Cambridge. So we would probably change it around and say the Cambridge Six and Dix for Dixon Hose, but they weren't clever as clever back then as we are now, right? So he was one of the Cambridge Seven, and he, along with the others of the Cambridge Seven, went and served men of Cambridge, men of influence, men of talents. Left a bright future in England to go serve on the mission field in England. Dixon Host served as the general director of the China Inland Mission for 35 years after Hudson Taylor had to hand over the reins. Live to be forgotten. Do you have that kind of an attitude? The last line in the book about him says that he was a man who lived to be forgotten so that Christ could be remembered. Is that true of your life? Live to be forgotten so that Christ can be remembered. You all know the words of John the Baptist when he said that, speaking about Jesus, he must increase, I must decrease. So we need to understand humility. The second thing we need to understand is that we need to understand the promoting of humility. Again, 1 Peter 5 and James 4:10. God is opposed to the proud in James 5, 1 Peter 5:5. He's opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So we need to be fostering an attitude of humility. Humility is something that you can work on. And let me give you several steps to think about humility and promoting humility in your life. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that in due time he may exalt you. We sang from Psalm 75. It's not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the desert comes exaltation. But God is judge. He's the one that lifts up. He's the one that puts down. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, so that in due time, he may exalt you. So let me give you several steps that you can ponder. The first one is what I call the attitude of gratitude. Again, the definition that I like of humility is that recognizing that God and others are responsible for your successes. So as a Christian, you should be living a life of gratitude. You have so much for which to be grateful. Think of all the riches that are available to you in Jesus Christ, being declared not guilty before the throne of God, having the sure promise of eternal life, having the very presence of God, the very Spirit of God dwelling in your hearts, and being in Christ, all that means of being in Christ. You need to live a life of gratitude. And I don't believe that arrogance and gratitude can live together in the same heart. So foster gratitude. Second thing I want to say to you is celebrate. Learn to celebrate the victories and successes of other people. It's easy for us to get jealous of the successes and victories of other people, but I think we need to learn to celebrate those things. Get excited when people have success. Get excited when things are going well for other people. So there's the idea of gratitude. There's the idea of celebration. There's the idea of dependence. You have to recognize that you are completely dependent upon God for everything in life. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 7 says, why do you boast? I've lost it here. I better just look it up or I'll get it wrong. 1 Corinthians 4, 7. I will get there in a minute. Let's see. For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? Everything about your life is a gift from God. And why do we boast that it's not a gift? But we tend to do that. Everything about your life is a gift. And so you have to recognize that you are dependent upon God. As we've said many times, even the next breath that you take is a gift from God. So you have to recognize your dependence upon God. You also have to recognize that that the gifts that we have from God, all the gifts that God has given you. And then the last thing I think we need to do is we need to treasure the glory, the majesty, the beauty of Jesus Christ. We need to meditate upon that more. Because as we do that more frequently, we begin to see ourselves in His light, not in the light of other people. You remember that Numbers chapter 12, verse 3 says, "Now Moses was the most humble man on the face of the earth." Now the problem with that verse is that Moses wrote the book of Numbers. And Moses wrote that verse. Now some people will say that Joshua added it later. But I don't have any problem with Moses having written that verse. Because a couple books later, in Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 24, he says, "Ah, Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your power." Moses saw the glory and majesty of God more than any other person of his age. And that had to humble him. And so as we treasure the Lord and learn to seek Him and think about Him and meditate upon His greatness, that has to humble us. Martin spoke a few weeks ago on Psalm 27. Verse 4 says that, it tells us that, the scripture memory just faded me this morning. It's the idea that one thing I've asked of the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate on His temple. Interesting desire that the psalmist had, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life, to behold His beauty. The Puritans had a word that they used to translate that idea, behold the beauty of the Lord. The word that they used was a Latin word that means sweetness. David wanted to dwell in the house of the Lord, to use the Puritan view, to behold the sweetness of the Lord all the days of his life. My friends, are you treasuring and meditating upon the greatness, the majesty, the sweetness of the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, that is a way of humbling us, because we recognize that we're just basically two-legged specks of dust in His sight. Yet He has chosen to be gracious to us. So genuine humility, Christian love demands genuine humility. It also, the second thing is that Christian love requires proper boasting. Proper boasting. What the world needs now is more boasting. Now, there is aspects of improper boasting. And those are things that are rooted in pride, self-reliance, worldly achievements. That's what's all around us. You know, people exalting themselves and say, well, I could have closed that deal. Or look at this deal that I closed. Or look at this concert that I just gave. Or look at my record in a sports activity. Worldly achievements, self-centeredness, self-reliance, pride. Those are all things that are improper boasting. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 2, it says, "Let another man praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips." Let another man praise you. See, you should be secure enough in Christ that you don't have to boast about your accomplishments, that you don't have to try to exalt yourself in other people's eyes. Let another person do that, is what Proverbs 27 says. And then Proverbs 25 says, "Like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of his gifts falsely." So there's several things about improper boasting. It's the idea of drawing attention to worldly achievements. It's the idea of boasting of our gifts falsely. It's a problem because we don't recognize that everything's a gift from God. God and others are responsible for your successes. And another problem with it is it leads to comparison. Worldly boasting, improper boasting, is always done in comparison to somebody else. Well, I bet so-and-so couldn't have done as good of a job I did on that. Now, there is a reason in Galatians chapter 6 for us to take pride in our work. That's a reasonable thing. The 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and this idea that improper boasting is always in comparison. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, "For we are not bold to class or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves. But when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they're without understanding." Your only comparison for life is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the person that's sitting there in the seats. It's not the person in the office next year at work. It's not the student at school that has the locker next to you. It's the improper boasting always is a result of comparing ourselves with other people. So that leads us to the idea of aspects of proper boasting. I'm going to give you a few of these this morning. I firmly believe that your life would change, probably your world would change, if you got excited and if these things began to spill over in your life. There are several ways that the Bible tells us that boasting is proper. We talked about the improper things, the things that are based on pride and self-reliance and worldly achievement. But there are several things that the Bible says that we can boast on. Let me just mention one here real quickly, because we can't really do anything about it. It's that in Romans chapter 5, it says that we rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces proven character, hope, and hope does not disappoint. That word rejoice is the word for boasting. So it could be, it probably should be translated. We boast in our tribulations. We've already talked about Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, that tells us that let a man examine his work, and then he shall have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. So I can't compare my work with the work of somebody else. You can't compare your work with the work of somebody else. God has given another person different gifts, different passions, different abilities. So those are a couple. But now let me get to the others that I think are just really exciting. Probably the first one is that we need to get excited about the Lord. In Psalm 34, verse 2, it says, "Let him who boasts in the Lord." It's quoted in the New Testament a couple of times. We're to boast. And I think for our purposes, that idea of boast, because it could be translated rejoice, it could probably carry the idea of getting excited about. Are you excited about what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing in your life? A couple of us have been reading through the book Dawes. It's by a man named Dawson Trotman, and he was very much a man of the world. And then he comes to faith in Christ, and he couldn't help but just tell people. He would go up to people, because he was known as you know, kind of a rabble-rouser and a worldly person in his town. And he would go up to people and say, "May I tell you what happened to me? Or have you heard what's happened to me?" Because he wanted to boast in the Lord. He got excited about the Lord. How excited are you about the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? Or has it grown stale for you? If it's grown stale for you, my friends, I'd ask you to just pour your heart out before God and get excited about the Lord again. So we boast in the Lord. Second one that's quite related is that we're to boast in our knowledge of God. Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. "Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who executes loving kindness, righteousness, and justice on earth. For I delight in these things." So we can boast in our knowledge of God, in our experience of God. We can boast that. Another one is that we need to boast in our hearts. Paul talked to the Corinthians about people that took pride, using the word boasting there, took pride in appearance and not in heart. How much time and money, effort, does a typical American spend to take pride in appearance? And Paul said that he wanted to have an answer for those people who took pride in appearance and not in heart. My friends, how's your heart this morning? Is it troubled? Is it lifted up? Is it burdened? You see, the Bible says that we can take pride in our hearts. So we've got the Lord, the knowledge of the Lord, the heart. We need to learn to take pride in what God has accomplished through us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6, Paul was boasting about the things that God had accomplished through him. You remember the story of Nebuchadnezzar. He walks out onto his rooftop, it seems, and looks over the majestic city of Babylon. And he says, "Is this not Babylon the Great, which my hands have made?" And you remember the downfall of Nebuchadnezzar for years. If he would have just changed a couple things in that sentence, he would not have had to go through the trials and the difficulties that he did. If he walked out on his roof and said, "Is this not Babylon the Great, which God has built for his own glory?" God would not have humbled him. But the end of Nebuchadnezzar's testimony is that God knows how to humble those who walk in pride. So my friends, if you're walking in pride, you just have to know that God knows how to humble you. So we have to get excited about what God has accomplished through us. Another thing that we can get excited about and boast in, Paul talked about boasting in others. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31, Paul was delighting to boast in the Corinthian people. Now you remember the Corinthian church was the most troubled church in the New Testament. And yet Paul saw those people as people in whom he could boast. Are you turning the compliments given to you over to others or over to God? You see, we can boast in other people. Psalm 16, "As for the saints who are in the earth, they are the exalted ones in whom is all my delight." Are you taking delight in other people? The next one that we need to think about is weakness. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that he will most gladly boast in his weakness because then the power of God dwells in him. Now again, we don't like to talk about weakness. Our world makes it seem like it's a trait of weakness if we talk about weakness. It's not something you're supposed to talk about. But Paul says, "I want to boast about my weaknesses because then the power of God dwells in me." So the accomplishments that you've had, have you turned the praise for those over to God? Are you demonstrating weakness? Are you demonstrating your dependence upon God and His grace? He's abounding in riches for all who call upon Him. And I saved my favorite one for the last. And that is, we're to boast in the cross. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, "But may it never be that I should boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Paul says, again, that word could be translated rejoice, "But may it never be that I should rejoice, except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ." Not boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get excited about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's through the cross that Paul was crucified to the world and the world was crucified to Paul. And Paul is saying that the world has no more attraction to him and no more authority for him. Wouldn't you love it if you could be weaned away from the attraction of the world? We just read from James chapter 4. It says, "Friendship with the world is hostility to God. And God yearns for the fellowship with you." Wouldn't you love to be weaned from friendship with the world? And Paul is saying in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, that the world has no authority and no attraction to him anymore. Because he learned to boast in the cross and get excited about the cross. So as we close, I want to ask you, my friends, are you excited about the cross of Jesus Christ? Are you treasuring what it means for you? You see, the cross basically means that the close relationship with God that you were made to have, you were made for a close relationship with Him, and you were made for glory. But those things have been lost because we have done things that displease God. But God sent Jesus Christ, His beloved Son, to pay the penalty for your sin. Because you see, the wages, the result, the penalty for sin is death. And so the cross means that the penalty for your sin was paid for. The penalty for my sin was paid for. So that the close relationship with God could be destroyed. And then the gospel means that there's a new kingdom. There's a new kingdom and there's a new king in the world. And we enter into that new kingdom by faith in the cross. Faith in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And life with God starts now and lasts for all eternity through Jesus Christ. My friends, have you asked Jesus to come into your heart and to forgive you of your sin? The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Boast in the cross, because it's through the cross that close relationship with God is restored. It's through the cross that God calls you His friend. Boast in the cross, my friends. Boast in the Lord. Boast in His knowledge. Boast in your weakness. Boast in other people. Boast. What the world needs now is a little proper boasting. I hope that you will get excited about the things of the Lord. Get excited about the cross. Get excited about your dependence upon Him. Get excited about what Jesus Christ is doing in you and through you. My friends, it's a wonderful thing to be part of the kingdom of God, to have the very Spirit of God living in your heart. Will you dedicate your life for His honor and glory? Will you dedicate your life, maybe once again, maybe many, many times in the past, will you dedicate your life to serve others for the glory of God? Will you live to be forgotten so that Jesus could be remembered? Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for the beauty of what we have, the wealth that we have to get excited about. Lord, we are humble people, and we have good reason to be humble because of all that you've done for us that we did not deserve, but you did for us through Jesus. So thank you for Him, God. I pray that you would draw each of us into a closer relationship with Jesus, and God, that we might learn to treasure Him more and more, that we could receive Him into our hearts and learn to love Him. Thank you, God. Do bless us. God, thank you that it's not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the desert that comes exaltation, but you put down one and lift up another. Thank you that as we humble ourselves in your presence, that you do exalt. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.